Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Hallelujah. Father, we worship. Give the Lord a huge hand. As the band continues to play, in 2017, I've asked Pastor Carl to be ready because God is about to move in our presence, in our services. Did you hear what I said? God, let me just say it this way. God is moving in our services today. When I look over and I look at a man who has every excuse to sit down in a wheelchair during worship, when I look over and I see a great brother that has every don't sit down, everybody stand back up, because you're going to wish you were when I get done saying what I'm saying. Okay, everybody stand that can. Everybody stand that can. And I'm going to wait for the man to stand. Because he can. In the presence of the Holy of Holies. When I look over and I see a man that has every reason to sit down, and he refuses to sit down in God's presence when he's worshiping, I am challenged to bring my very best of praise into the house of the Lord. Seriously. We're going to go into this message. Just keep playing. I don't know where we're going. Just keep playing. But we are challenged, and Nate and Melissa are this couple that brings this physical thing for us to look at and see, look, they have every reason to say, I'm tired. I've worked hard this week. Nate does his physical therapy. Melissa does the physical therapy with him all week. And he has every reason to say, can I just sit down, Lord, in your presence? But when he brings his walker to church, because he refuses... When he couldn't stand up even a year ago, when he refuses to sit in God's presence, I am challenged. How about you? I am absolutely challenged in my spirit to say, God, I can probably stand for you in honor of the King. In fact, I pray to God I have no holes in my socks today. No, it's a good day. It's a good day. Do you know that God's word challenges in the... I mean, seriously, Moses took his shoes off. He was challenged too. He said, take your shoes off, son. The place, your ground you're standing on is holy. It is holy. Now, I'm not getting religious, and I'm certainly not getting legalistic about it. Please don't take your shoes off. Some of us probably be glad you didn't. But we need to learn to take God's presence more seriously. We need to learn to take God's presence more seriously. We need to learn to cherish God's presence incredibly. Because when you can honestly say, when you look at the person next to you and say, dude, or ma'am, God is in the house. When you can do that, God is in the house. I dare that person to go, yeah, what time do we get out of here? Believe me, I know what time. You don't have to worry about it. I understand stuff. I do. I get it. We have children and all that. But the idea that somehow when God is in the house, it's a casual thing. He's here because you're here. You gathered in His name. How do I know that? I know He's here because you're here. How do I know that? Because you're here. And if you're full of God's Spirit, and He says, we are, I'm crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but it's Jesus Christ who lives in me. Jake, he's here because you're here, dude. Got one. Okay. I said, Jake, he's here because you're here, dude.
Yeah.
There you go. It's truth. Not because I said it and not because I'm trying to hype you. It ought to hype you. It's truth. Okay, got one. Here we go. Okay. Does everybody know? Everybody repeat after me. My God is in the house. My God is in the house. My God is in the house. I should act like God is in the house. It's not that. It is an amazing. If we could get this in our spirit, it's not a matter of getting it in our head. I don't care about your head. It's a matter of getting it in our spirit. There's something that God is doing in our presence. If you need me to be King James, in our midst, I can do that. God is in the house. And I'm telling you that your family will not be the same at the end of this year. Your family, I said, you and your family will not be the same after this year. Give the Lord a huge hand. Give the Lord a huge hand. Give Him your best. Come on. Come on. And I will always love. Oh, Lord, I will love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, band. Thank you. Have a seat. Go ahead and have a seat. I want to get into the Word. Are you ready to get into the Word? So you ready to get into the Word? Get your Bibles out. I'm going to read again. I normally do not teach from the Message Bible. It is a paraphrasing translation. It's not a literal translation. But I wanted to just bring something to you that we started last week. We have challenged the entire church. The leadership has challenged the entire church to fast and to pray during the entire month of January. And I just want to encourage you, continue on. However, the Spirit of God leads you to fast and to pray during this month. This is the month of transformation. This is the month of transformation, don't you think? It really is. I'm all in, because Gina knows I need to be transformed. Yeah, you think I'm joking? No, Gina knows I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind every day. Every day. Every day, right, John? Hey, John Coffey's in the house. Give him a huge hand. John, go, stand up, John. So everybody, there you go. John is in the house. That is my man, John, lives across the street from me. He learned to move because I had him put up a TV on my wall. So he learned to move because I have tasks. We also put a double bunk bed together that weighed 400 pounds, didn't we? Yeah, he learned. He moved. We want to talk this week. Last week we launched the series of transformation. And it's a 4-week series that we're studying. Last week I asked you, I challenged you to pray all week and to pray and fast all week about a personal, deeper revelation and anointing from God for you. And that means you too, guys. This youth, we are looking for a supernatural, deeper anointing, deeper revelation of who God is. I actually had some younger people come up to me today before service and said, Pastor Barry, I wrote down that challenge you gave last week. Do you remember what it was? Do you remember what it was? To spend more time in the month of January in God's Word than you do the internet, email, Facebook, all those other. Here, I believe in the resurrection. Here we go. And all of those, and eBay. My wife made me put eBay on there. Because of me. So I want you to know that's the challenge this month, to be in God's Word more this month than you are in all of those social media outlets. On your cell phone and all those social media. I believe our lives will be transformed, not because we've just thrown those out, but because of what we've replaced that time with, don't you? If you can give me just a little more juice here, that would be great. I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. There you go. Oh my goodness. And there was life. Hebrews chapter 6. I started in verse 1. I went through 18 last week, and I am going to start in. Let me give you this. I'm going to start in verse 19 this week. But before I do that, I want to talk to you about sowing seed and invest and sowing seed and reaping harvest just for a second. This week, I'm challenging you to pray. Continue to pray for the personal revelation and anointing, a fresh anointing and revelation of God. Continue to pray that through this week. But we're going to add to it this week, this new thing, this new idea of actually the power of God flowing in a deeper, more powerful, effectual way in our services. A greater revelation of God in our services. A greater outpouring of God's Spirit in our services. That's what we want to add to that today. Let me just give you my word about something. If you've known me for any length of time, you know I'm not into show. I am not into show. I'm not going to call people up, let somebody put their hand on them and push them down. I am not into that. I will stop that if I ever see it. I reject that in the name of Jesus Christ. God doesn't need me to do the holy shove. I'm not into, this is why the title of this message is Searching for the True Cause, Not the Effect. You see, I want to worship the causer, not the effect. I'm not about the effect. The effect will be the effect. And you'll have your own genuine response to God's presence, as I will have my own genuine response to God's presence. Some people lift their hands and they worship. Some don't. Some dance before the Lord. Some don't. Some lay before the Lord. Some don't. I'm not looking for the effect. What we're looking for is the cause to show up. I am searching for the cause to actually show up in our services in a greater way in 2017, because God has challenged us, John. We cannot be the same church we have been for the last 16 years. We must be in 2017 transformed by the renewing of our minds, and we must be a different church body. And that means you'll change. That means I'll change. By the way, that was Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, if you want to write down notes. That's where that scripture is from. God transforms our and by the way, he right before that, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, King James, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. This is about totally dying to myself and living unto him. And I want to talk with you about that. We're not talking about the effect where we see, hey, how do you know God showed up today? Well, let me tell you, somebody next to me was speaking in tongues, and I love the witness thing. I saw this, and I saw that, and then this lady did this, and this guy, oh my God, he did that. Well, what did he do in you? You're talking effects. I want to know, did you meet the cause today? Did Jesus show up, and did you step into his presence, and did you meet the cause? I'm looking for the cause, not the effect. I don't want to worship the effect. I'm not impressed. Who do you think? Do you think God's impressed with us when we're praying in the Spirit in tongues? He authored that. That's his. That's not yours or mine. That's his language. That's his. And if you lay hands on someone and they are instantly supernaturally healed, oh, that's the signs and the wonders I believe we'll see, but I'm looking for the causer of the sign and the wonder. We're not in love with the effects in our services today. Honestly, I said this to you last week, I'd rather be like Paul when he preached for hours and bored that guy to death, falls out the window to his death. Paul has to run around the bottom of the building, and they're all looking out the window, and basically, I'm paraphrasing here, they're looking out the window, yeah, he's dead. He's dead. Oh, he's alive now. Paul just raised him. And then he runs back up, props him up for a little while longer, and he preaches a couple hours more. Wouldn't you rather have an incredibly boring, impactful, eye-opening Jesus show up than a show? I'm not about the show. By the way, if you don't know me, I'm also not quiet at a football game. So I'm not going to be hypocritical here today and give God less of my energy than I do when I was rooting for the Super Bowl Rams. I'm just not going to do it. I was screaming till I lost my voice then. And if I'm going to give God less than that, you need to find a different pastor. So I just want you to know my passion is Jesus, not the effect. And by the way, the greatest supernatural sign and wonder, Mike, isn't it a new name written down in the book of life? Nowhere else does the Bible say the angels in heaven celebrate for any other sign and wonder except that someone meet Jesus and be born again and have their name written in the Lamb's book of life. Who is the Lamb? Jesus. Whose book is it? It's his. And when he writes a name in that book, look out. He is his son. You ain't going to touch him. Ain't anybody got the right to remove that name. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? I want to talk to you about authentic experience in God today, not the effects of it. Because we're not impressed with that. God's not impressed with that. We're not impressed with, I shared this with you last week, not impressed with impressive prayer. If somebody can pray in an incredible way, you know, it's an amazing thing to me. You know, the idea that people want to be good in front of other people. They want to remember it. Remember last week? The world is not a stage. We're not on a performance thing. And he also says, Paul gives this thought, and God is not in the audience. The world is not a stage, and God is not in the audience applauding us. Now, God applauds when our hearts are right with him. I believe in the applause of heaven, one of the great books of Max Lucado's. Great book, by the way. But this last week, Gina and I were driving, and I know that she is here probably with a grandchild somewhere. There she is. Okay. My babies. I love having my babies in church. But this week, Gina and I were pulling into a Panera Bread before we went, and we were going to a memorial service at a restaurant that I was doing. I had a family call me to do a memorial of someone that had been lost, a young lady to a heroin overdose. And before we went to the restaurant to do the memorial service, we pulled into Panera Bread on Olive Road, there at Woods Mill and Olive. And so I pulled into a parking space and said, "Is this a space?" And Gina said, "Yeah, it's a space." I backed up. I actually backed the car up, her car, and said, is it handicapped? We backed up a long way. No, it's not handicapped. It's a space. It's God's blessing. I'm one that praises God for good parking places, by the way. And so I pull back forward, and I immediately look into the eyes of a senior citizen, old man, anyway, in a truck, staring at me. And I said, "Hun, did I do something wrong?" Because he is upset. He's mad. There's something going on here. I said, "Did you want this? Did you want this spot?" Stared at me. So I parked. I got out and I truck over to his. And Gina goes, "Oh, my Lord." She just panics when I do these things. I run over to him and I said, he rolls his window down. I said, "Did you want that spot?" "It's handicapped." "It is?" I said, "Are you serious?" I even backed up to look. "I am so sorry. I would never park." Don't ever park in a handicapped parking place if that's not you, by the way. So I said, no. Let me give this to you. "Did you want this?" Totally disgusted with me. So I get back in, and I back out, and I pull right to the next lane, and I park there. And I get out, and I notice he doesn't pull in the spot. I told Gina, "Go on inside, I'll be right back." So I go back over, and as he's pulling in his spot, I see the biggest Christian fish you have ever seen right on the back of his truck. I can't resist. I can't. I'm sorry. I cannot, at this moment. That's not true. That's a lie. I've just told a lie in this auditorium. I don't want to resist. It's so good. It's so helpful to me that, and so I ran up behind him. I saw that. Oh my Lord. And so he gets out and I'm running up next to him. I said, "How are you doing? My name is Barry." He said, and he introduced himself. I said, "Are you a Christian?" And he gave me one of these. "Well, yeah, I sure am. Do you go to church?" I said, "Yeah, what church do you go to?" He told me what church he goes to. I said, "Really?" I said, "My wife and I pastor St. Charles River Church." It's one of the few times you'll ever get me to admit it that fast. And he said, "Well, Pastor, it's so good to see you. I am so happy to meet you." And he puts his arm around me, and we're walking in Panera Bread. And so I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm meeting here for a men's Bible study." I said, "A men's Bible study? That's so exciting. Can I meet the men?" So I go over and I introduce myself to one of the men. I said, "This is a great brother. You know, this guy's a Christian." He said, "Yeah, he is." It's amazing how when the stage lights are on, we can be Christians. But when no one knows that, you know, that I have to behave. See, we get into the idea it's a behavior mentality versus a cause mentality. Have you met the Master? Have you met the Savior? Have you met the cause? We get so, can I tell you what? We do that in church all the time. We do. We do that in church all the time. Yes, I'm going to read the word. Don't worry. Yes, I'm going to get into the word. Don't worry. Hebrews 6. Just be patient with me. We do that in church all the time. We come before the Lord. Oh, Lord. And we worship you. And we worship you. Now, I've been a complete you-know-what all week to my family. I've treated them with disrespect. I've treated them with disdain and disgust at times. And I say things I should never say. But Lord, we worship you. And we can sing, Lord, unto your name. And we can sing in your spirit. But I've been a you-know-what the whole week. Can I ask you something? Did you all read Romans chapter 12 with me? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's about praising God in all things that we do. Can I tell you, and I know that we know this, but it's a healthy reminder for all of us. If we want the power of God in our services, we need the power of God in our day-to-day lives. It's not about just coming in here to get holy, coming in here to get His presence. No, no, no. It's about walking in His presence tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And when we get a chance to tell somebody he's parked in the wrong spot, we get to do it with a great attitude. Hey, dude, I don't want you to get a ticket. I just don't want you to get a ticket. Dude, you can stay there if you want to, but just don't get a ticket. When we get the opportunity to do something with a cause that's good. And the effect is someone says, wow, thank you. I did not know that. When we get the opportunity to care about people, or just in the day to day, and someone says, thank you for caring. Thank you for being the Christian all the time. And not just when the spotlight is on us as a Christian activity or a Christian gathering like this. Let me just get real specific in when you come into this place, when I come into this place, let me go Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they would bring the sacrifice into the house of the Lord. It was the sacrifice of blood. There was a sacrifice in the Old Testament before Christ. There was a sacrifice of blood that had to be poured out on the offering. That offering of sacrifice for the remission of sin. And there would be the idea of the scapegoat, of putting the sins of the community on the scapegoat and sending it out into the desert. The idea, Jesus, by the way, became your scapegoat. Also, by the way, just so you know, he became your scapegoat. That's where the phrase scapegoat came. They would put the things that symbolized the sin of all of that community, and they would send it out into the desert. And that was throughout the Old Testament. There was always a something that had to die. There was always something that had to be sacrificed, and it was blood. It was living blood, and that was to fulfill the law or to meet the law, because the law wasn't fulfilled till Jesus. And in the New Testament, we see this sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. And he gives Jesus, the Son of the living God, which we just celebrated in Christmas, he gives us this gift to be given once and for all, Paul writes. Once and for all, the sacrifice is made for you and me. And then in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter, I believe it's chapter 12, it is written, it says, and now we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Recently, I've more and more, and throughout the years, it's not just recently, for about 23 years of pastoring, I am amazed when someone comes to me and says, I'm not getting anything out of worship. I'm not shocked. I didn't know there was anything to get out of worship. The Old Testament, they brought the sacrifice of the blood. In the New Testament, we bring the sacrifice of praise. What? We bring the sacrifice of praise. There's a biblical concept we cannot get around in our services. If you sow seed, you will reap a harvest. If we're sowing seed all week, we're going to reap a harvest in God's presence. If we're sowing seed, say this with me. If I am sowing good seed, I will reap a great harvest. If I am sowing cheap seed into cheap soil, I'll reap a bad harvest. So many times people will come in and expect God, I didn't get anything out of worship today. What did you invest? What did you bring? Let me just take you back to the Christmas story we just celebrated. The kings that came from afar, let me kill your Christmas rumor of there were only three kings, by the way. It's just there were old churches years ago, and they couldn't fit more than three kings up there, and there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they just wanted to make sure they got a king to represent each gift. Okay, so we three kings of Orient are, let me kill that just for a minute. It's just, don't get your feelings hurt. But what did the kings do? They brought the best from their nation as a gift to the newborn king. They brought, in the Old Testament, the blood sacrifice. In the New Testament, God gave the sacrifice to you and for me. When people say to me, I didn't get anything out of worship today, I simply am saying, I thought you got a great package. It's called eternal life. I thought we already got the great package of eternal life, and you need more? I am amazed at that when someone says, I need more out of worship today. Can I tell you, it's more than music. It's more than teaching. It's worship. Whatever we bring in here, we bring to the house of the Lord and we offer our praise to Him. I never saw one king that walked up to Jesus in the manger and said, what do you got for me, O King? Can you find one place where one of those kings went to Jesus or to Mary and Joseph? If you're Roman Catholic, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, that whole... Name one place where they ever said, Joseph, what do you have for us? Do you know what they already had was his presence? You see, that was the gift, the presence of God. And that's why we're challenging in the next week that you pray with us for a greater outpouring in our services. And when week number one is happening and we're having a personal revelation of God and a new anointing, a new revelation of Him, and we come in here and we let that flow, it's a natural progression. We're going to have the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit we've ever had in our church history, because we are living that life of sacrifice and praising Him in all that we do. And when we come in here, the Spirit of the living God is already electrified, because you're bringing this house of praise, the Spirit of praise. Instead of standing there daring Him to do it just right for you, I don't like how they do this. I don't like how they do that. I wish they wouldn't do this, because I don't get anything out of it. I'm going to promise you, you never will. Because if you don't sow seed, you'll never reap a harvest. If you don't sow the worship, you're not going to reap the harvest of God's presence. You can stand there. I was in a room one time at a great revival services. And I had one of the greatest godly men standing to my right, another very good man, but a new believer to my left. God was doing some cool stuff, amazing stuff, and I'm just sitting there watching from the balcony. Thousands, tens of thousands, in fact, almost 100,000 people within a year got saved at this particular meeting. And I'm watching on one particular evening, and God is just delivering people right and left from certain things, and I saw some things that were just weird. I'm just being real with you. I saw weird stuff, but I'm talking about weird to me. It's just me. And I get the guy on my right says, wow, only God could do that. I didn't know what he was looking at, but I'm sitting in the same room as he is. And he says, wow, only God. It was Jim Ohl. If anybody wants to know, it was Jim Ohl from First Assembly. He said, wow, only God could do something like that, brother. Wow. Guy on my left says, that ain't God. Now, same room, same platform, same teacher, same speaker, same service, same everything. And one guy is denouncing it of the devil. Another guy is saying, well, that is the presence of the Lord. I got my money on the brother that's walked with God for 68 years. And I've watched him. This guy is a God man. He ain't religious. He just knows Jesus incredibly well. He doesn't need religion anymore. He knows Jesus incredibly well. Hebrews chapter 6. Here we go. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse. This whole end of this chapter is about a life of God worship. It's all about God worship. Listen to this. It didn't say anything yet about coming into a service, did it? This is about a lifestyle. This is a life of worship. Don't hoard. It's a value system of worshiping God. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it?
The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Let me tell you, if we treasure God's presence, we'll get there. Did you hear me? If we treasure God's presence, we're going to get there. It's what we treasure most. Where your treasures are, there your heart is also. How many of you checked your McDonald's stock this morning? I'm talking about stock market. How many checked your McDonald's stock this morning? Why? Because you have never invested in McDonald's stock. But I promise you, if you buy $100,000 worth of McDonald's hamburger stock tomorrow, I promise you on Tuesday morning, you're going to be up so early on the internet looking at the value every day of the value of that because you have investment there. Why do you go to parent-teacher meetings? Because you got something invested in that school. It's called your children. The very best treasure that God will ever give parents are our children. And when we send them to a school, we tend to show up. Why? Because we have something invested there. It's very valuable to us. I didn't show up to Fairmount Elementary School this month. Why? I have no one there. Where my treasure is, there my heart is also. By the way, take this as from my heart. If you really want to be with God's people on Sunday morning, I think we'll tend to be there. Got 14 of you. Okay. Your eyes are windows into your body. Listen to this. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body will become a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. Can I just use this as an example? When you come into this place after you've experienced God all week, and we come in here just squinty-eyed to the things of God, just squinty-eyed. We don't see anything. Nothing. We see nothing good in it. But when we come in here wide-eyed and with expectation, the idea that I expect God's going to show up, and when I start worshiping God, do you know how they won the battles in Israel? Do you remember that? They sent the worshipers in first. I mean, can you imagine what the President of the United States, what kind of emails he would get if he called all of a sudden all the churches in America and said, send us your choirs. We're going to put them on the battle lines with the United States Marines. Before the Marines go in, we're going to send worshipers in. They'd vote that guy out so fast. No matter who the president is, no matter what the party is, they would vote that guy out so fast because that's a crazy concept. I've got news. The Marines aren't the most powerful force in the world. The Spirit of the living God is the most powerful force. And when Moses' hands were down, yeah, you better give the Lord a hand. When Moses' hands were down and the battles were going against their way, Aaron and Hur raised Moses' hands, one on each side, because as long as it was acknowledged through Moses that we are desperate for God's presence, we cannot do this alone. As long as his hands were raised in the air, the battles would turn and Israel would begin to win again. Supernaturally, this power of God that is released through praise and acknowledgement and adoration and honor, the Spirit of God is released through those moments. And the enemy goes, or the Lord goes before us and he clears the enemy out. What's he say? He said, I'll go before you and I'll make your path straight. Why? Because, Lord, I'm praising you. I'm glorifying you. I'm not worried about the distraction in the middle, out in front of me. Lord, my eyes are upon you. When I don't know what to do, what did Jehoshaphat say? When I don't know what to do, my eyes are upon you. When I don't know what to do, Lord, my eyes are upon you. Your eyes are upon the Lord when you're in his word. Your eyes are turned to him. If you're praying, your eyes are turning to him. If you're worshiping in music or in just being in his presence, our eyes are upon you. But it is amazing how we want so badly for God to show up in our services to give us something. No, don't get me wrong. I believe you will receive something. I believe you will receive in abundance the things that God has for you. But it is not about that the motive of I'm coming in to worship you is why we gather. It is why we gather. And in fact, I will tell you, if you know me very well, you've seen it a few times, I forget to take an offering in this church on occasion. Because I didn't come to take the offering. I didn't come to get from you. If that were the case, why would I ever cancel services for snow? By the way, always watch. We come to offer a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. I want to go on through. Here we go. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration, it's a value system that he's talking about here. It's a value system that he's referring to. You will love one God, ending up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. In other words, you can't worship God and be a man value system person. You cannot be so attached to this world and man's value system that we dishonor God and give the value system on this world more praise than him. That's why I ask us all to spend more time in God's Word in this month than we do Facebook, internet emails, eBay, our telephones, texting. Where's our value system? Who are we spending most time with? Because where our treasures are, there we will end up being. Let me finish. Here we go. Has anyone by fussing in front of a mirror ever gotten taller? Not me. By as much as an inch, I'm getting shorter. All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes such a difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. Have you ever seen any color or design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside it. Now here we go. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of what we never have seen, don't you think he'll attend to you? Take pride in you. Don't you think he'll attend to you? Take pride in you also and do his best for you. What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax and to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Listen to this, and this is the last verse. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come when the time comes. Listen to this. What he's saying is, Paul is writing, is don't be so caught up with us. I need. Do you remember what about Bob? Do you remember I need. Remember the scenes in What About Bob? I need. He was so obsessed with what he needed. He was obsessed with his needs instead of being obsessed with the giver. And Lord, I need. Lord, I need somebody to do worship my way. Really? Well, they're worshiping for them. We need to worship for ourselves, Lord. No one can do worship for you. No, it's not worship is not a style. It's not a song. It's not a style of music. Worship is not that. Worship is from your heart. And let me tell you, I'm sorry. Pastor Mike knows this. Where is he at? I know he's in the building. There he is. Pastor Mike knows this. I've said this to him many times. I can worship without music because I do all week. Because my worship is nothing to do with music. Though I love God uses that incredible experience in music. How do I know that? Because music was in the heavens long before it was on the earth. He's the author of music. Did you know that? He is the author of music. We didn't do it. Well, I mean, we didn't. We didn't create it. We're not just that. He gave it to us to create. But music was in the heavens long before that, and Lucifer oversaw it. Did you know that? The one that is now Satan oversaw that in the heavens. He oversaw the music and the worship, and that he was that guy. He was a very influential angel at the time. Why do you think he's so good at using music to destroy lives here? So he turned something that was meant to honor God into something that destroys. Now, it's not the music that destroys, but there's an environment that uses the music to destroy lives. Y'all know that. I don't teach there's Christian music and secular music. There are Christian lyrics and non-Christian lyrics, but I believe, listen, I sent a worship leader out to one of the great, the big church, Saddleback Church years ago. Hillsong was leading. It was Darlene Check was leading. And I said, I want you to go out there and I want you to experience God. But I said, before that, I want you to hear me. When you get back, I really want, listen, I want to challenge you because I wanted her to come out of her comfort zone. I said, I want to worship God. I want you to start playing something. Just open a service with Let It Be. Let It Be. I'm not talking about singing the words. I'm saying, just play the music. Let It Be, Let It Be. You know, that's the Beatles song. She said, I could never do that. That's not Christian. God won't anoint that. And I said, whoa. Just go to the conference. So she comes back and Stephen are sitting on my couch about a week and a half later and they're sitting and they're weeping. I said, what happened? They said, you'll never guess. We were so enthralled on that last night of worship and the band is just playing and we're worshiping and they're not even singing. They're just playing. And all of a sudden she says, and Stephen elbows me and he says, Amy, they're playing Let It Be. Now at that moment, you got to decide. Can I worship God through anything? With any style of music? Yes, you can if you find freedom in His presence. It's not about the music. The lyrics may not honor God, don't use them. But I can worship God with no music or music. I just worship God. I'm going to tell you what, when Nate walks across that stage dancing one day, I don't care if there's a stitch of music in the house. You're not going to need one stitch of music to get me to dance. I'll be the third behind him because Melissa will be right behind Nate. And then he'll turn around and run into her and he'll be the third because I'll be dancing back the other day. When that dude walks, I can only imagine. I can only imagine on that day what I'm going to see when Nate stands before the King. And I'm telling you, we're going to believe for that long before that day. But if he comes today, you're going to stand before the King today. And I can only imagine. Can I just say, I want to be right behind you. Because I want to watch it all. When you dance before the Lord, you're going to be good. You're going to be good. You're going to be the best dancer. I'm telling you. Stand with me just for a second. I just want to pray. And then I'm going to ask Pastor Pam to come up and she's going to make some announcements. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you today with every person that can stand that's standing. And I'm asking you that you will sow today into us such a deep passion to worship you in spirit and in truth, stopping the idea that somehow we have to get something out of worship when we don't bring anything in to worship, when we don't even enter into your courts with thanksgiving and into your house with praise, and yet we want something from you. God, teach us to bring something so amazing to you, a spirit of servanthood, a spirit of worship, a spirit of kindness, a spirit of surrender to you, and to offer that to you, this living sacrifice of praise in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm asking you for a greater outpouring in our services today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand. Give him a huge hand. You may be seated.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.